Let's go to Malachi chapter 3, I believe it is. Oh, glory. Oh, that's Habakkuk. Glory in the highest. What a wonderful presence of the Lord here today. Well, everybody agreed with that. That's praise God. That's a good one. Oh, hallelujah. Let's see. Malachi 3:8. Hallelujah. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Now, tithes is 10%. Amen? So, does everybody understand that? So, what God is trying to bring is the reality that they were stealing from him what belongs to his house. Amen? Why? Because they weren't giving. Now, I'm not here to do a preaching on tithes and offerings. There's something specifically more involved in this. Because in this, tithes is a representation of 10. And that's a prophetic number. And he says here, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And people wonder why they can't get ahead. Because they've never given to God what's due to them, due to him. Amen? He said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Are we a storehouse? Yeah. And the body of Christ has storehouses, don't they? That there may be food in my house. And try me now in this. Now, this is where he says, try me or test me. Try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine of the fail to bear fruit for you in the fields, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be the delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Try me in this. In other words, test me in this. So I want you to understand something about testing. Because God is not only testing, but he's testing to bring a cleanse. So there's always a test before the cleanse. There's the test before the cleanse. And when he says, test me in this, what is he saying? He's saying, there's going to be a testing. There's testing. Well, prophetically, we've been in 10 years of testing. From this year, 2026, all the way back to 2016, we've been in a year of testing. We're getting, and we're also entering cleansing. Why do you think all of this stuff is going on, all the exposure? Amen. Psalm 24, verse 1. Psalm 24, verse 1. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. The earth is the Lord's and all its fruitfulness, the world and those who dwell in them. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart, or a purified heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive what? Blessing from the Lord. Now, can the Lord use a man to bless you? Yeah. But the blessings always come from God. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who what? Seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Oh, clean hands and a pure heart. As the Lord's glory becomes more revealing on the earth, he must prepare us. I'm sharing this because things are about to happen big time. There's going to be a more release of God's glory. And as God continues to release his glory, that's what we're seeing right now. That's why there's a cleansing, isn't there? There's a cleaning up. There's been testing. Now there's cleaning. Testing and cleaning and testing and cleaning. And now we're seeing it happen. We've been watching the exposure of the wicked. Why? Because they've been tested. Now they have an opportunity to turn and get cleansed. So God always gives opportunity, no matter who they are. Amen? Revealing, as he gets closer and closer and revealing his glory. We have entered into a cycle of cleansing. Why? Because we are his temple. Just as he cleansed the temple, his temple, we are being cleansed more and more and prepared. There are things that you don't even know that we need to be cleansed for. In Psalm 7, verse 8, he's purifying the hearts. Just like in the Old Testament, people were prepared before they went before the king. The more of God's glory that's being revealed, there's more of the testing and there's more cleansing. And his glory is going to be revealed more and more and more. That's why what you're seeing globally is because God's glory is being released more and more. All this is preparation. Psalm 7, verse 8, let's speak it together. The Lord shall what? Judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. Oh, let the wicked of the wicked come to what? An end. Their wickedness come to an end. But establish the just, for the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart. There's the testing of the heart and the mind, your thoughts. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. Test before the cleanse. That's the name of the title. Test before the cleanse. Revelation 2:8. Thank you, Lord. Everybody there? And to the angel of the church in Samaria write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation, poverty, but you are rich, And I know the blasphemy of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are the what? Synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation. How many days? 10 days. But this actually represents 10 years, because we've been in testing for the last 10 years. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Woohoo! 10 days of testing. One day with the Lord is equal to 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So in other words, a day for a year. 10 days. 10 years, I'm sorry. 10 years of testing. Before what? Now, when 10 years, 10 is a biblical prophetic number representing 10 years, or 10 is a representation of something that is before change. So we've got 10 years of testing before change can come, before judgment comes, and before fulfillment comes. Three things: change, judgment, and fulfillment. Now again, if you go back 10 years from now, 2026, in 2016, Trump was elected. The moment he was elected, it started a 10-year transition of testing. Why? Because God put his servant in office. That same year, Kim Clement, who prophesied Trump being in office, and prophesied about many things, one of the most powerful prophets to our generation that we've been alive, passed and went home to be with the Lord. This year will bring change, judgment, and fulfillment, 2026. Why? Because it's the ending of the testing of 10 years. Second Chronicles 29, verse 16. Remember we talked about after the blood moon, which the eclipse of the blood moon, that some events, there's going to be some things that are getting ready to happen. And there are some things that are getting ready to happen that I can't talk about yet. And and the world's going to see it. I mean, this is God exposing himself to the world. It kind of reminds me of that movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it, The Day the Earth Stood Still, the first one, when everything stopped and the whole world recognized, but it wasn't an alien revealing himself, it was God. I'm expecting that to happen again, but there's so many other things that are getting ready to happen. It's going to be the day the earth stood still, and all humanity all over the earth is going to go, what happened? What is this? People are going to have fear in their hearts, not knowing what's going on. They're going to have to run to someone that does know. Oh, glory. And the glory of God is going to be revealed like never before. Get ready. Okay, I said to go somewhere. Second Chronicles. Yes, okay. 2 Chronicles 29:16. The day we need to do a teaching on the day. Man, I had some visions while we were worshiping, and I'm going to have to talk about those at another time. But wow, things are getting ready to happen. But there's a fighter in our hand. One of the things the Lord shared with me is as we were praising and worshiping, I can share this. His words are everlasting. His songs are everlasting. Never think that's an old song. They were there before me and you. and they'll be there when we're gone. Songs, his music is before, is present, and is after. It's eternal. So you're sharing with me, never look at the music as, oh, that's new. No, it's not new. It's been written before you just knew it. It may be new to you because you never saw it. Or then it may be, oh man, don't we sing this song a lot? It's because that song penetrates. See, I can go one more step. When you sing, it keeps the portal open. Jesus ripped the veil for me and you, and he paid a price to do that. Your price is to keep the veil open by praise and worship. You got that? Amen. That's all I can share. 2 Chronicles 29. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 16. Anybody there yet? Good. Let's speak it together. Now, this is important to grab hold of this because this is a part of the cleansing. And it says in verse 16, then the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. Okay, so there's that inner part. And brought out all the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it out and carried it into the brook Kidron. Now, they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month, they finished it. In other words, it took 16 days to cleanse. 16 days to cleanse. Amen? 10 years of testing, 16 days of cleansing. Now, we know that there are prophetic markers. Amen? The blood moon, which was on March 3rd, the blood moon eclipse, is a marker of cleansing when it began. 16 days later brings us to March 19th. There will be, and now that is considered, we are entering the Feast of the Lord. Remember, everything is always connected to the Feast of the Lord. So we see the cleansing of the temple took 8 days before the first door, and then the second part, the inside, took 8 days, so 16 days. 16 days total of cleansing. We are going to be in a 16-day process all the way up to cleansing, which will lead us to the Passover, which is very shortly. Is everybody with me? Then once the Passover, we have what? We'll have resurrection. We have Feast of Passover, Feast of First Fruits. Amen. Feast of Leaven, Unleavened, and then the First Fruits. Yeah, resurrection. Everybody got it? Passover, Leaven, Unleavened, Resurrection. No Easter bunnies. And we'll call the linebacker on you. So these are testing and cleansing. Why? God is getting ready. Who can enter and be close to receive what God has? He who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. He's not going to put something in an individual's hand that's not clean. Amen? So many people are waiting for God to do something, and he's waiting for them to do something. It's called repent and turn away. Repent and turn away. It doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. Amen? We're gonna, unfortunately. We're going to say things we shouldn't. Oh, that's a whole nother thing I saw too. Anyways, hallelujah. People still step over boundaries. People still do things. But repentance is the thing that restores us. Because it's the power of the blood. The power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Which nothing can break. So God is getting ready. So his glory is going to be revealed more and more and more. Again, we're going to enter a time I really believe it's going to be revealed as the day the earth stood still. Humanity will stand still. They won't know what happened. They're going to wonder why this, whatever. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. I only know that there's a day coming with very shortly. I mean shortly. That means when I mean shortly, within 2 months, within a 2-month span, something is going to happen to really shake the world. Now, we're watching our war in Israel and Iran and all the nations. They're gathering together. They're forming now the kings that are in the book of Revelation. Things are being formed now. They're being formed of the kings that are in the book of Daniel. Does everybody get it? Everything is being formed now and prepared. But you got to remember, the word tells us that God is going to bless his church. We are going to be the sign and wonder to the world. So he's about to do something gloriously. And it has to do with his glory. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. First John chapter 1, verse 5. Hallelujah. Let's speak it, please. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Well, he will cleanse us. Amen. Repentance activates the blood of cleansing. Psalm 19, verse 12. Psalm 19, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. Everybody there? Glory. Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from what? Presumptuous sins. Stop assuming. People fall in a trap of assumption. It's actually presumptuous. You know, and what the enemy, if he can get you in the trap of assuming something that isn't true, he can water it and he expands it. That's why you must be careful of the things that you speak. If you can't say something in front of someone, when you want to say something to someone else behind their back, you shouldn't say it at all. If you can't speak face to face, then shut your mouth. because you'll be judged by it. Amen. Keep back your servant also from sumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be what? Blameless. And I shall be innocent of what? Great transgression. Wow. Let the words of my mouth and a meditation or the focus of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's why the Bible warns us about grumbling and complaining. Amen. You know, people just, it's amazing that, I mean, the world is, that's the world. They grumble, complain about everything. We're not to be other grumblers and complainers. We're to be grateful and thankful. Amen. And be grateful and appreciate what we have, not what we don't have. I remember the Lord used to tell me, Guy, don't look at what you don't have. When you use what you have, I'll give you more. People are wanting more when they're not using what they have already. Amen? Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1, please. Verse 1. Everybody there? Okay, there's three. Any more? I'm going to take a count of how many are there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exalt in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. That should be our heart's desire. Always. What I'm speaking, am I pleasing God? Amen? And what I'm, is my testimony pleasing God? Is my life and my choices pleasing God? Verse 2. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification or your purification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and what? Honor, which is respect. Not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us His Holy Spirit, sanctification and honor. James chapter 4, verse 1. Everybody okay? Test before cleanse. Why? Because the test exposed what you need to be cleansed by. Or cleansed for. Verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, The Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, God, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will what? He will lift you up. Double-minded. This is what God is going to cleanse people from. This is where the testing is. You know, it's not what man says about you, it's what God says about you. Because man will have a presumptuous or false perception of things. But God judges by the heart, doesn't he? And this is where we have to examine our intentions. What's our intention? You know, in our own character, in our soul, as our intention is to puff ourselves up and look better than others. But our intention should be to be humbled. Amen? Humbled. The Word of God and the truth should humble us, not puff us up. Your work should not puff you up. It should humble you. We should live a life of humbleness, not puffed up. You get too puffed up, you'll float away. It's like a blowfish. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. Maybe we should have the Blowfish Award. We got the Beaky Award already. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. So be careful who you associate with. Amen. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Wow. Remember, the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. And I'm going to close at Matthew 21, verse 6. Glory. Matthew 21, verse 6. Hallelujah. Everybody there? Let's speak it. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Now think about this. All the Roman soldiers and everyone who was in Antichrist must have freaked out, especially the Sanhedrin crews, you know, all their crew, all their groups, all their, you know, their clubs. They were freaking out. How can they do this to this man? Abomination. Tearing their clothes and whatever. Although they had plenty to pick up. because there was, they laid them all on the ground. They could have thrown them on the ground in front of Jesus, and he could have rode his donkey on them. That would have been glorification. But they couldn't. They couldn't humble. They thought they were humbling themselves by ripping their clothes off. Tearing their clothes is a form of ripping of the heart and humility. But God, the creator that created him, was riding on a donkey watching these idiots do this stuff. Think about that. I mean, to see all of this happening during that period of time must have been amazing, especially for the disciples. You know, those guys are like, what do you want us to do now? Really? And they would do it, and everything would fall. Yeah, there's a donkey waiting for you. Go pick it up. Would you call it in? Uber it? No. It was predestined for it to be there. Go get it. You know, to live at that time and walk with Jesus, amazing. Anyways. Okay. Everybody okay? And I'm going to start at verse 8 again. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into the Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, It is written, My house shall not be called a house. Is it not called a house of prayer? But you have made it a what? You have made it a den of thieves. After he kicked over, exposed, chased them out. In fact, it says in the other parts of the view, in the other gospel, that he made a whip. He didn't whip nobody. But I'm sure they were quite fearful of him because he stepped in there with boldness. And he was God. You know, I mean, they might not understood all of this, but they knew that there was a fear that never hit them before like that. Amen? Hallelujah. Then Jesus went into the, after he drove them all out. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. And he what? After he did what? After he cleansed the temple. Then they came into the temple and he healed them. But he had to do what first? Cleanse the temple. And that's what God is doing right now. He is cleansing the temple. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And now, here's the other thing. After he did that, we don't need to go any further on that. That's all I want to do. I just think it's so amazing that the end result was that he cleansed the temple to bring healing. He healed everyone. But think about what the price he had to pay. He had to, first of all, hold him back when he was a kid. He had to hold himself back. Well, the angels held him back too, Holy Spirit. You know, remember he went into some of the synagogue. He started teaching right away. Mom had to go get him, pull him by the ear. Yo, get out here. It's not time. Because, see, she knew time, but he was still maturing. Remember, he had a human factor on him now, but he was without sin. So he was pure without sin. But he wanted to be about his Father's business then, but it wasn't time to be about the Father's business because he hadn't been anointed with the Holy Spirit yet, even though he basically really was. You know, he was born with the Holy Spirit. But there was a special anointing that came upon him to do service. It wasn't called for him to do service at that time. It was called to him to be an example, to learn how to live like a humanite. Amen? To resist all temptations, to stay pure, to keep his heart pure and his hands clean. He learned everything. He observed everything that was going on so that when he went to the cross, he could take it all on. I remember this. I remember that. I'm going to take this here. I'm going to take all of humanity's sins, frustrations, sicknesses, diseases, rejections, disappointments. I'm going to take it all and put it on myself. And then I'm going to release. I'm going to bring it all back to the devil and release it back on him. And see, the only way he can get into hell is to become a sinner. That was a qualification. So he entered hell as a sinner. Why? Because he took on sins of humanity. And then he took the keys away from the devil. Said, you're done. You're done. Now I'm going to teach my people how to kick your butt and keep you imprisoned, because I'm going to give them the keys to bind and to loose. And the gates of hell will not prevent against my people. And signs and wonders will follow them. They will cast out devils. They will lay hands on the sick. They will raise the dead. And the world will see my glory in them. And that's what God is doing and preparing us for right now. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Woohoo! You're a good daddy. Keep this word sealed in us and prepare us for the things that are getting ready to happen. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.